I needed to speak to Dickerson, heart to heart. I calmed myself, then looked her in the eye. Dean Dickerson, Janet, please hear what I'm about to say. I can't go home with these falsehoods. If Dr. Narden thinks I'm flunking all my classes and wandering around school drooling, all the planned medication changes and tests will be postponed. He can't treat somebody who's going crazy. He's going to think the medicine is causing these problems, and they're not happening. I have a social life, a lot better than most of the people on this campus. I have friends. I'm doing lots of things. And you know I'm not failing my classes. I saw sympathy in her face. Was I getting through? Was she reconsidering? I barged ahead, clinging to that hope. Yet I couldn't subdue my anger and frustration. This is the first time in 2 years that I've started to get under control, I said. With the next medication changes, I should get even better. But Narden won't make the changes unless I can disprove everything you're saying about me. God damn it, if I can't prove this is all false, he might take me off Dilantin. This not functioning socially, not functioning academically, is going to become part of my medical history. Decisions about my care are going to be based on lies. I closed my eyes. Please don't do this to me. Her tone hardened. We have an obligation to the parents who paid for their children to have a normal education. The words drove through my heart. Never had such an agony stabbed at my spirit. Tears filled my eyes. So what, because people see me have a seizure, I'm robbing them of a normal education? This is just a very upsetting situation for students. Okay, I'm sorry. I never should have started walking the campus alone. I was wrong. I'll stay in my room. No one will have to see them. My mother cried. Don't punish him because he's epileptic. We're not, Dickerson said. But we have to think of the other students. And staying in your room doesn't solve the problem. Then you're leaving it to Carl and Franz to deal with it. They have the right to a normal education, too. Everything Nicholson warned me about was true. It was true. I'm just a thing. I covered my face with my hands and sobbed. How can you say these things to me? When you started as dean, all you talked about was diversity. Suddenly, I got angry. Well, here I am. I'm diversity. How many people do you have on this campus with disabilities other than me? One? You say diversity and you want to throw half of Swarthmore's disabled students out of school.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's what you just said. You guys have given reason after reason for throwing me out. Dr. Whitaker, a goddamn psychologist, says my neurologist doesn't know neurology as well as he does. Oh, no, it's because of my grades. Oh, it's because of my social life. I'm imagining my social life. I'm hurting other people because they might see me have a seizure.
My mother, still crying, interrupted. Kurt, I stopped speaking, trying to control myself. Dickerson looked pained.
Please don't do this, I begged.
The room went silent for a moment. Let me speak to Dr. Millington, Dickerson said. They walked into the hallway where Whitaker waited. I wondered what role he had played. I knew he spun stories and bragged about himself all the time. Maybe I had just become a target for him so he could show off to the administration. My mother and I sat in silence until Dickerson and Millington returned. We still think it's best to, she began.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. If you just want to get rid of me, if you want me out because of my epilepsy, then just say so.
That's not the issue.
Then there is no issue. Sending me home will set my treatment back. It'll make things worse, not better.
My mind shot to Chicago, when a similar clash over my condition had played out. A neurologist and a psychiatrist each proclaimed their diagnosis, declared the others woefully inadequate, and then threw up their hands, saying, since the other doctor was wrong, there was nothing they could do.
If you want me out, please just say so. but don't send me home with these false stories about failing my classes and having no social life. Please don't do this to me.
Dickerson appeared as if she wanted to cry. After several more minutes of rambling, I ran out of words. The room fell silent. Dickerson and Millington excused themselves, then again headed out to where Whittaker was waiting. Minutes ticked by. Only Dickerson returned. "I'm sorry, Kurt." I pushed my hands through my hair as I sobbed uncontrollably.
"Don't do this to me. Please don't do this to me. I can't go through this again.
Kurt,
I'm not up to this anymore. I know I'm going to give up. I'm not going to be able to keep fighting to get treated. I can't."
Dickerson stayed silent, appearing to consider my words.
"Please,"
I begged.
"I can't handle this. It's going to destroy my care. It's going to destroy me."
A pause. "We're willing to take that risk," Dickerson said.